Join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Tied up, tangled up, in love with Jesus. Come on, somebody praise the Lord right now. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, praise His name. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Welcome to Friday Night Live, League City, Texas. Wow. Well, I'm finally here. I kept telling Brother Greg that I needed to come preach for Dominion again because I hadn't been here in about 3 years. And so I'd see him and tell him that, Brother Greg, you need to have me come. And he said, well, I'm praying about it. With that broken hand, he's praying about it. So I see him again. I'd say, hey, I need to come preach for you. And he said, I'm praying about it. Saw him at district council. I said, I need to come pray for you. He said, well, I'm praying about it. Finally, one day I said, I'm going to pay you to let me come. He said, I've prayed about it. When can you come? I know you believe that. It is such an honor to be here. I have been trying to get back here for the last 3 years because Dominion Church is close to our heart. And I asked Brother Greg yesterday, how long have you been with Dominion? He started this 19 years ago. I just want to say you haven't built a big enough church. I can just tell you that right now. And for 19 years, Greg and Dina have been some of our closest friends. And we've had some times together. Sometimes I counseled him. Sometimes he counseled me. And sometimes I cried and sometimes he cried. But we go back about 30 years, and it has been one of the greatest friends that we've ever had. And it's been a ride, I tell you. It's been a good ride. But finally, he let me be a part of this great Pentecost Now conference. And I tell you what, I've been so excited about this. I think he got a hold of me in January and said, you're going to be our speaker on Friday night. And I said, yeah. And I've been so excited about this. Some nights I couldn't sleep. And I've gone back to my dieting again, as you can tell. I looked at Brother Shane tonight. He's half the man he used to be. And now I'm twice the man I used to be. But he invited me to come, and I've been so excited about this. And I started my walking back last week, and I was walking. And, boy, I tell you, when I'm walking, God, I got to have a little piece of paper with me and a pen because God begins to speak to me. And I was so excited this week. I was walking. I walked 4 miles. I see you're not really impressed. I thought maybe you might want to know. But I walked 4 miles. And I tell you what, I got to preaching to myself. I got to preaching to the mockingbird. He got saved. And he flew off singing, I'll Fly Away. I preached to the squirrels. I even preached to a couple of men and a couple of ladies. But it's been such a privilege to be here tonight, and I look around here tonight, and there's some who's who. I want you to know that's in this building tonight. All these preachers, and you got Brother. Well, I call him Dr. John now. Dr. John Fowler's there, and Sister Mary. Well, I'm telling you, these are holy rollers now. Those are holy rollers. And then I look back there, and Brother and Sister Fleming's back there. Preached a few revivals for them and pastored their church a few times. And it's good to have Sister Sally Manning. Now, y'all can't call her that. I'm the only one that can call her that. my youngest daughter and I are the only ones that can call her Salamander. But I look there, and there she is. And Brother and Sister Adams, I tell you, I don't know if he claims me as a friend, but I want to tell you, Michael and Kendra Adams are my friends, our friends tonight. And you talk about a ministry. You talk about a dude that is a specialist. And then I've got all a strong tower back there. Yeah. Yeah. I win the T-shirt tonight. I'd unpack 10 pews tonight. I called up, I text Brother Mike about 6 months ago, and I said, you're going to be at Dominion Church on June 26th. I don't care if I got to pay you to be there. You're going to have that whole Strong Towers ministry there, and there they are back there in the back. I want to tell you, I am so proud of them back there. I'll tell you, I wish when I get rich, I'm going to hire them to come with me. And they are a great bunch. I'll tell you, Mike and Kendra has built a church over there. It's phenomenal, but it's so good to be with them. Brother and Sister Tut, now, we've had some times together the last few years. And the reason why I'm about to break down is because Sister Lytle was the pastor of this church, their church. And Sister Doris Lytle, and then she brought on the Tuts. You didn't know we had a king in the house, huh? King Tut. She brought on the Tuts about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And longer than that, time flies. We're having fun. But we've had some great revivals. But the thing that touches me tonight is that he and I again, and Sister Debbie and I again, are connecting tonight in this great conference. Because it was Sister Lytle who called me up and invited me to preach at the nursing home 38 years ago. And I started off just passing out books. I started out passing out song books. Forgot to tell you what book it was. And then I guess she saw the calling on my life, and she invited me to preach, started preaching on Wednesday nights when I'd be off, and I started preaching at the nursing home. And Sister Lytle has, I tell you what, she has given the ball to some good people. And thank you, Brother and Sister Tut, for letting us be a part of your church in Channelview, Texas, and that's a rough area. You know it's rough. That's where Gene Summers is from. And I got to tell you, they're not all ugly like him either.
Ooh.
And I've got a pew packed over here on the left, and I am so happy tonight to have my whole family over there on the left-hand side. Why don't y'all stand up, let them see where y'all at, Sister Vincent? Grandsons and granddaughters. You know, if nobody opens the door for me to preach, I got a crowd over there. I don't get much preaching in over there, but and it's good to have my son-in-law with me tonight. He's my rent-a-center. He's our lawyer in the family now. And I can't say enough about Brother Warren tonight. Ooh, y'all better get ready tomorrow night. This man's going to put y'all into the Milky Way tomorrow night. And so I've had the blessing to be in his church. I think the last time I was there on a Wednesday night, three people say one filled with the Holy Ghost, and he had 600 on his campus on a Wednesday night. And got a great church, got a great testimony. I hope I'm not stealing any of his thunder. But when he got there from Tennessee, I think the church had gotten down to about 50. And tonight he runs about 1,500. Had 600 on Wednesday night on the campus. And you'll enjoy his ministry. And then you will enjoy Brother Jason Stidham Sunday morning. He is about as skinny as that pole right there. And he's so skinny when he takes a shower, he's got to jump in and out. That's how skinny he is. When he went to jail the other day, they gave him one stripe. And he's about as tall as that post right there. Praise the Lord. Mm. Hey, do you appreciate brother and sister Thurston's son tonight? Well, I just want you to know he has taken a chance tonight, I guarantee you. I'm not going to tear it up too much, but we've got two great preachers, like I said. And then I heard Brother Johnston Wednesday night. All I've ever heard about since that night is they said he raised the bar. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm 5'8", okay? He preached on the wind, preached on the breath of God. I say tonight, let the wind blow tonight. Blow, wind, blow. All right. Well, now listen, I shouted with the music group tonight. Are they going to shout with me? All right. Well, I got a lot to say. I got more notes up here than a Baptist hymnal. But I'm going to try to get it done. I don't know what Brother Gray has given me. But you all know, or half of you know, that I don't preach very long. And the other half has not been told. Hey, I heard y'all went from Hillsong to Hillbilly the other night. That's good. Whatever works, you know. Whatever works. Hey, be back tomorrow night. Great, great crowd here tonight. Be back tomorrow night to hear Pastor Warren tomorrow night. Praise the Lord. How many got your Bibles with you tonight? I forgot to tell you about another guest I have. That's why some of y'all on this side over here has been acting like Mount Rushmore. Wake up, dude. If y'all don't shout, he'll shout, I think. How many got your Bibles with you tonight? Let me see your Bibles. I want to see a Bible check. I know iPods, iPhones. Brother Warren's got a Bible. iPads, Black Eyed Peas, Black Eyes. Go with me tonight, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, first of all, tonight. I got a lot of scripture, got a long ways to go. In a short time, I need you to help me tonight. And how about that brother and sister Negroot? How many appreciate them tonight? I heard he's got a ministry in Marriage 101 and babies. That's good. Twins. Hey, I was a twin. Yeah, I was a twin. Yeah. So you're real excited about it. But anyway. I wanna place a charge tonight. A lot of what God has given me for this conference tonight is going to be a springboard of your new location. So it's very important tonight that you would try to hear every word that I say tonight. Because these are prophetic words that God gave me for Dominion Church tonight. I have come to impact your church and not to impose or even impress you. I have come with a message tonight to network with, I believe, one of the finest pastors in the body of Christ that I've ever had the privilege to be around. So I believe tonight I'm under great pressure to knock in the winning run. So if I don't preach good, that means you ain't prayed good. As a speaker tonight, my message is not the only main ingredient to make your church a finished product. Brother Warren will be in tomorrow night. Brother Stidham Sunday morning. You had Brother Johnston Wednesday night. The title of this conference is Pentecost Now. And if we've ever needed a Pentecost Now, after the muck that we went through today in the political arena. I believe God wants to fill vessels tonight. I believe God wants to fulfill Pentecost Now tonight. And to every vessel that's in this building tonight, that you would seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence. Oh, this section over here, I'm going to have to get my decoy out. Come on, Strong Tower, I'm paying each of y'all $100. Money. Money talks. I'm going to leave that right there. You're not just cutting edge. Your church is not just cutting edge. You are more than a two-edged sword church in the 21st century. We need people tonight to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Okay, that's good. My words tonight will be a revelation of prophetic words to be a launching pad to your new location. We are not tonight in a passive 110 wattage church. We are in a 440 wattage church for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to understand what type of church you're going to. You need to understand what type of church you've been attending. So go with me tonight to Isaiah chapter number 4, verse number 1. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by name to take away our reproach. That will happen in the millennium. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent, and the comely for them that are escaped of Israel. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion. I want you to know something. 19 years, brother and sister Thurstonson has been in this church, your shepherds in this church. I just want to tell you this tonight. You are what's left of this church. You are the ones that are still here to be a Pentecostal church in a new location. You're what's left tonight. You're not hearing me. You are the ones that God wants to use in the 21st century for Dominion Church. We'll take it slow. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. And the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, of the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon every assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. God has placed the church to be a defense. God placed a defense in the first century church, and he's for sure placed a defense in the 21st century church. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. I like this banner tonight. Possessing the gates. Pastor Greg said something tonight. He said that it's important that we position ourselves in the presence of God. If your church is going to be successful in the new location, then Pastor Greg needs some faithful churchgoers. Faithful churchgoers that know how to position themselves to be blessed by Jesus Christ inside the tabernacle, inside the Father's house. Because I want you to know something. God did not call this church to be a mausoleum. He did not call this church to be a funeral home. He did not call this church to be a graveyard. He called this church to be a church of life and victory and salvations and Holy Ghost baptisms. So you need to position yourself tonight in these altars. Right now, as I speak, the Holy Ghost needs to place a hunger and a thirst after righteousness in your spirit right now. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. Right now, we need people in this church tonight to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get ahead of myself. But being Pentecostal is not just knowing how to shout. Being Pentecostal is not knowing how to even sing or run the aisles or jump up and down. Listen, I want to tell you something. I refuse to be a dead church. I refuse to be a dead church in the 21st century. So don't get me wrong. I want you to get real emotional tonight. But see, if we start seeking the baptism and the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight, then that character Pastor Mike was talking about, that character that lives inside of you is going to come out of you. But being those emotional things is not Pentecostal only. I'm going to really upset some of y'all now. Speaking in tongues means you are a Pentecostal. And I'm afraid we've been more concerned about the cosmetics of the skin instead of the makeup of the soul tonight. I'm afraid we've had too many churches, and I want to make sure that you never become this type of church, but we've got too many churches that have been more concerned about the outward man, how we look, how we dress, what we look like, what we say, than being concerned about the inward man. And I got news for you. I got some good news for you. That Holy Ghost anointing will help you live the characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need another charismatic church. We need a Pentecostal now. They said the priest, when the cart would come in, they said the priest, they couldn't touch that cart, but they said the priest would position themselves. The sun would be on this side and the cart would be over here, and the cart represented the presence of God, but they couldn't touch the cart. And so what they said they would do, they would get on their hands and knees just to get in the shadow of the cart of the presence of God. They couldn't touch that cart, but they sure could get in the shadow. Can I just ask you, can I just place a charge in us tonight that we would get in the shadows in these altars and let God touch us and baptize us in the Holy Ghost? If there's ever a day you need the Holy Ghost, it's now. The title of my message tonight is Don't Kill the Rooster. Go with me to the book of Joel real quickly. Joel chapter 2, verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, and for it is nigh at hand. Can I tell you something tonight? Holy Ghost people know the truth. Liberals always want a shortcut. Cain wanted a shortcut. Absalom wanted a shortcut. Korah wanted a shortcut. Gehazi wanted. Balaam, Judas, Demas wanted a shortcut. But you can't shortcut. You can't shortcut God's power by trying to exit or void an upper room experience in this house tonight. You can't afford it. Because this is an alarm. This is an alarm in verse 1. Verse 2 through 11 is talking about an army. In verse 12 through 17 talks about an appeal. And then verse 18 and 19 is talking about the after effect. But then in verse 15 he said, blow the trumpet in Zion and sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. This is not the day for the church to be in some corner. This is not the day for some church to put a lid on God. This is not the day for a Pentecostal church in the 21st century to put God in a box or stay in a box. If there's ever a day you and I need to be a Pentecostal church, it's today. That's why you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Sure, I like sensationalism. Sure, I like to be emotional. I'm going to be emotional. I'm a type A individual. I'm a type A Pentecostal. It's already in my DNA. I'm Cajun, okay? I'm already going to have Tabasco sauce coming out of me. But since I got Jesus, all of a sudden he's placed a double portion inside my life. Come on, somebody praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Then comes the anointing. And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit, saith God. In this verse talks about, first of all, that the old men shall dream dreams and the young men shall see visions. We're going to read it in a minute, but there's a flip-flop in Acts chapter 2. Because in Acts chapter 2, he begins that sentence. He begins part of that sentence and says, the young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. That means this tonight, that every young person tonight needs to catch a vision. And every young person of this generation, of the 21st generation, needs to pick up on the dreams of our forefathers. Because I want you to know something. God didn't fill the church in the first century so that the church in the 21st century would let this thing die inside our churches. We've got a responsibility tonight to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Go with me to the book of Luke tonight. Chapter 22. Then took they him, verse 54, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. We got a problem. Because up to this point, Peter, James, and John has been faithful to Jesus Christ. They were always in the inner circles of Jesus Christ. They were not Humpty Dumpty Christians. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Nobody pushed him. And if you're trying to walk on the perimeters of a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're in trouble tonight. They were always where Jesus was. They were always wanting to follow Jesus. They were always wanting to catch up on the responsibility that Jesus Christ wanted them to do and fulfill. Now we got a problem. Because now Peter's following far off. Two things take place. For this next church that you're going to be successful, Pastor Greg needs you to be faithful to the activities of this church. Two things happen when you become unfaithful. One, it becomes generational. And that's the problem we're facing tonight. Because the problem was about 10 or 15, 20 years ago when people began to miss church. They began to miss Sunday morning. They began to miss Sunday nights. They began to miss Wednesday nights. They began to miss revival services. And now we've got a generation that has come up into the ranks. They don't know why they need to go to church. Because mom and dad 15, 20 years ago stopped going to the house of God. And secondly, it becomes habitual. It becomes habit forming. The first flag to backsliding is the fact that you stopped going to church. Where's my pencil? Where's my eraser? That's not supposed to be. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Oh, now, listen, all of a sudden now he starts hanging out with the wrong crowd. I forgot to tell you, this is a hit-and-run night. I told Pastor Greg yesterday, I'm going to make these next two guys look real good. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Now, all of a sudden, now he used to be on fire, but now he's sitting by the fire. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I'm not. Now, all of a sudden, you stop going to church. You start hanging out with the wrong crowd. Are y'all all guilty of that in this section? You used to sing. You used to play an instrument. You used to work for the Lord. Now you go on vacation when it's conference time. Did I say that? In about a space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Where's Sonny at? Got me a dead rooster, Sonny. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Hey, he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The whole thing about the title of the message tonight is this. The bottom line, if you don't get anything else, if somebody would have killed the rooster the day before, Peter would have never known what the Lord had said. You and I cannot afford, when we position ourselves in this room, you and I cannot afford, when we position ourselves to have church in this place, that we would quench the Holy Ghost inside this place. We must be people of the Spirit tonight. We must be people of the Holy Spirit tonight. We must understand how the Holy Spirit, we must desire the Holy Ghost to operate in our lives. I'm talking about the original Jesus and the Holy Ghost in fire. Go with me to Acts chapter number 1 real quickly. In Acts chapter number 1. Being assembled together with them, verse 4, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith you, you have heard of me. That's the promise. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Do we understand that? Do we really understand that? It was a command by the chief commander. It was not an option. It was not, I hope so. In case we don't know who our chief commander is tonight, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He commanded his church to go to the upper room and to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Verse 10 says, and while they stood steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. There was 500. Now this is my side note. This is RJV side note. That's RJV, that's Roderick Joseph Vincent commentary. So when I tell you it's a side note, you can take it or leave it, okay? I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of it, but there was a possibility that when God had asked, commanded the church to go to the upper room, there was a possibility 500 was on the first day. And God said, I want you to go up into the upper room. Because I believe that was a gesture by God himself to find out who really wanted to be a Pentecostal. So let's say there was 500 the first day. The church tarries 10 days. They go beyond 40 days of purpose. I challenge you tonight to go 10 more days into the upper room and receive this wonderful gift from God. So they tarry 10 days. So if there was 500, now we know how many got it. Now it says that 120, the number of names together were about 120. And men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and has obtained part of the ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. And he goes on to talk about other things there. But listen to me. In Acts chapter number 2, it says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. If there's anything we need to happen in Pentecost now, if there's anything we need to happen in the Pentecostal church, is that we need to get back to believing alike and getting in one accord and desiring the Holy Ghost inside our lives. Because there was possibility 380 of them didn't need it. 380 of them said, I don't want it. But thanks be to God, there was 120 of them said, we want the Holy Ghost inside our lives. I want you to know something. If Pentecost now occurs tonight, then you'll be Pentecostal tomorrow in that new church. I see you're really excited about it. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is not an option tonight. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not an option, and it's not to happen later. Later on tonight, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and he wants to give you a heavenly tongue tonight. Somebody shout praise the Lord tonight. You need it. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you why you need it. Listen, when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Ghost knows how to pray. When you don't know what to pray, the Holy Ghost knows what to pray. And besides that, listen. It is the perfect prayer for you and I. I've done that occasionally in 40 years. Didn't know how to pray and didn't know what to pray. Listen, Pastor Greg Thurstonson needs people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now. Not tomorrow, now. how many times I've needed the Holy Ghost. Long story short, trying to catch a plane in Detroit, Michigan. Rented a car going to Ohio. Preached revivals that week. Get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to catch a 6 o'clock flight in Detroit and to show up. And United Airlines delays my flight. They didn't only delay it, they canceled it. They didn't only cancel it, they rerouted me. Straight flight from Detroit to Houston, rerouted me. Three top airlines. How many know what I'm talking about? Going down the runway. Especially in your Monroe Airport, Brother Warren. And that's the most, that airport I have the most cancellations in is Monroe, Louisiana. That's where he lives. Would you get them all saved up there, please? We take off with about 12 members on that flight. They didn't give me a straight flight to Houston. They gave me a flight from Houston to Cleveland, Cleveland to Houston. And they placed me in the first seat. Now remember, I got up at 2 o'clock. I'm sitting in the first seat across Lake Erie. And all of a sudden, the little airline attendant right there sitting in front of me, there's about 12 of us, the little attendant in front of us, she says, "Hey, hey, hey." The captains informed us that we're going to make an emergency landing. About that time, the dude across the aisle is going, "Oh, God, we're going to die." He's hunkering down. He's grabbing all the cushions. I'm half asleep. She says to me, us, "Lean forward." Yeah. Lean forward. I'm the first seat. What's going to stop me? Planet Earth. He's going to make an emergency landing. That dude is going, "We're going to die. Oh, God, we're going to die." He's grabbing all the cushions. He's hunkering down. I'm half asleep. She said, you lean forward. So I leaned forward, and all I could do was pray in tongues. I didn't know what to pray. Didn't know what was the matter. So I leaned forward, and I looked out one eye out the window there. We're getting closer to planet Earth. And he's hunkering down, hollering, hollering. I mean, he's hollering. He's making me nervous now. All I'm doing is praising God in tongues, praying in God. Of course, I'm half asleep now. That's all I could do. So I leaned forward and I looked out, and we got closer to the planet Earth. And about that time, I looked out there and them fire trucks was following us. They looked like the Keystone Cops. They're going to follow us. What the deal was, he was going to belly up. Do you know, Brother Fleming, you know about airplanes. He's a pilot. You know what was going to happen. He's just going to belly up. Well, what's the problem with that? The problem with that is you got like 10,000 gallons of fuel in them on those wings, and he's just going to belly up. He's just going to belly up. Well, what was the problem, Brother Rod? I don't know what the problem was. Up to this point, I don't know what the problem is. But then she comes out and says, "The captain has informed us that the landing gear will not come down." So I'm praying in a heavenly language, right? I happen to believe, I'm crazy enough to believe tonight, still 40 years later, that my heavenly language goes directly to the throne of God. Yeah, I'm praising God in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. I don't know what to pray, but the Holy Ghost does. Well, you know the rest of the story. No, you don't know the rest of the story. Well, you know part of the story. We landed. Well, what do you think happened, Brother Rod? I'll tell you what I think happened. My heavenly language went directly to the throne of God, and I believe God looked over and said, "You angels, I got three of them. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." What do you mean? What do you think happened, Brother Ron? I think the Holy Ghost sent them angels. So you're going to talk about angels tomorrow night. I think them angels came. Woo, I believe God said, hey, there's a crazy Cajun on there, and he's got an assignment next week. He's got a revival to go to. And so the Holy Ghost gets those angels, and they fly out, and all of a sudden they're doing this. They're doing this. They're doing that. And guess what? We landed. You need the Holy Ghost. That's just half the story. Yeah, here comes the good part. I get home that night, 8 o'clock. Pastor calls me up, the one I was with the last night. Preacher, did you make it home? Yeah, I made it home. And then he starts telling me this. No, I start telling him that. I said, yeah, I made it home. Well, how was your flight? I said, terrible. Both of them. He said, both of them? I said, yeah. He said, what happened? I said, well, I told him what happened. 6 o'clock, canceled flight, get on Treetop Airlines. I animated it all as I got down the, got over to Lake Erie. No landing gear. He said, what time was that? I said, oh, now it's about between 9 and 9:30. He said, you got to be kidding me. He said, our prayer meeting's from 8 to 9. And I was in our prayer altars this morning. I couldn't get up from my altar. I couldn't stop praying in tongues. For 30 minutes, he said, I prayed in tongues. And I walked into my office, and my wife said, boy, you sure did some overtime in your prayer life today. He said, I couldn't get up from the altar. He said, what do you think happened? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody else was praying in a heavenly language. Somebody else was touching the throne. Somebody else was praying for this occasion. Somebody else was praying for me to make it safely. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise his name right now. You need to seek the Holy Ghost now. 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 Pentecost now. Listen, we don't need a paradigm shift. We need a changing of the guard. Orders remain the same. God is wanting to perform a miracle in your life, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give him praise tonight. So what's that? The most powerful church is when a church can sing and say, I was Pentecostal when Pentecost wasn't cool. That was not written by Barbara Mandrell. Listen, I gotta hurry. We've lost some great Pentecostals. We've lost a line of defense. The first three are non-Pentecostals, and they did with what God gave them. Non-Pentecostal, listen, much is given, much is required of this church. Much is given to this church. Listen, your pastor is a bona fide, tongue-talking, Bible-thumping, devil-chasing, Holy Ghost church, and he needs a church. Why? Because he gets his orders from Pentecostal headquarters. And you need to understand how the Holy Ghost operates in a church service. You need to understand how the Holy Ghost wants to convict us. You need to understand how the Holy Ghost wants to draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll want every promise that's in this book tonight. We've had men like Jerry Falwell and James Kennedy and Adrian Rogers. I know they weren't Holy Ghost men. I know they preached against the Holy Ghost. But they were a line of defense. They stood their ground. And never one time did the decision that took place in America today, did it happen the last 20 years. Because I believe God had a line of defense. I want to tell you, God's looking for a church in south of Houston. God's looking for a church tonight. God's looking for a Pentecost now to take place inside every vessel that's in this place tonight. We've lost great people. R.W. Shambach, Oral Roberts, David Wilkerson, Rex Humbert. I know some of you don't know these people. Amy McPherson, Burt Clendon, and Raymond T. Ritchie, James Bridges, John Osteen, Gene Jackson, G.E. Patterson, Joe Barnes, Ron Bowen, James Brown. I feel good, Brown. Okay, that's Dr. James Brown. A.R. Trotter, W.S. Graham, W.L. Williams, Francis Drake, Sister Annabelle Manley, Sister Grisby. These were men and women who never killed the rooster. We don't need another generation that'll kill the spirit. We don't need another church that will quench the Holy Ghost. What we need is a church that's on fire for the Lord Jesus. Give him praise. Hallelujah. These were those who drank from the well and never forgot those who dug this well. If you want to be successful in this world, learn how to crucify the flesh. Listen, it starts on the inside. Because you're never going to possess what you refuse to pursue. You will never pursue what you're not persuaded about. Some of you are not persuaded. We need you to be persuaded. You better believe I'm going to be emotional for Jesus. Some of y'all are acting like Mount Rushmore out there. I've seen some of y'all shout more at a Texans football game. Oh, no, not the last 2 years. I'm talking about the last 10 years when they were 0-15. And you used to run over there to Minute Maid Park. Lord. And shout for the Astros. I mean the Lastros. I told you I was going to tell the truth. Stop killing the rooster. Greg, you're going to fire me. I'll be another 30 years before I come back now. We got too many people quenching the spirit while the preaching's going on. Now you know why that mockingbird got saved. We need a church generation to defend a legacy and live out this tradition. We need a Pentecost now. So desperate. Our country is in trouble. And we've tried everything. We've tried everything inside the church, and it has not worked. Try Jesus. He never fails. He's not only our salvation, but He's our baptizer. We need to learn how to worship God while the preacher's preaching.
because changing the atmosphere in this building and even the attitude in your life is going to help you out. Don't shout me down, Brother Fleming. Tonight, two generations are going to join together. Not to be in competition, but to become complete. Not division, but to let divinity take place here. Not rebellious generation, but a revolution generation. Not a victim generation, but a victor generation. Not destroyed by our adversary, but touched by our advocate. The best legacy is not what we leave the next generation. The ultimate summit legacy is not the fact that we want our sons and daughters to be members of Dominion Church or even attend it. The greatest legacy will be what we leave inside of them. Brother Greg may not know this, but there's a reason why he called me. The most powerful, successful, God's perfect will takes place when Pentecost now stays in this church. If you permit Pentecost now, you will be Pentecostal tomorrow. And yes, we need you to be vessels of joy. I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad to be saved tonight. I have to pinch myself. For 40 years, Kath and I will be saved this July the 30th. For 40 years, I've pinched myself. I can't believe God loved me enough to save my soul and then to place me in a Pentecostal church who I didn't know there were Pentecostals. I didn't know there were tongue talkers. God tricked me. He kept it from me, but he couldn't keep it from the congregation that we got saved in. I want you to know, we sell a t-shirt back there. It's called No Regrets. I want to tell you something. Kath and I have no regrets tonight. How many of you, do you have any regrets you got saved in this church? Does anybody have any regrets? We have no regrets we got saved in the church we got saved in. We ain't got no regrets that we got saved in a church that told us the truth about eternity, that was not through seeker friendly. It was not through a purpose driven theology, but it was through a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord. I don't know him as a long distance Savior tonight. We have no regrets that we got saved in a church that spoke in tongues. We have no regrets we got saved in a church that said, by his stripes we can be healed, Sister Debbie. We have no regrets that we got saved in a church that had Sunday school, had church on Sunday, church on Sunday night, church on Wednesday night. We have no regrets that we got saved in a church that had Holy Ghost revival, that let the baptizer of the book of Acts walk the aisles of our church. We ain't got no regrets. That's Pentecost now. Power to live, power to change, and power to go. Listen, I appreciate the steroids of the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm glad I got saved in a church where I could show my feelings. How many of you are glad you got saved in a church you can show your feelings? We're so glad we got saved in a church that we could show our feelings, that we could be emotional. I want to tell you something. We don't serve a dead God. He's alive and well. Whether it's Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday morning, he's alive in the house tonight. It is not great men or women who change the world. It is weak men and women in the hands of a great God. We must be concerned about the inward man. Let me hurry. Listen. All Pentecost is releasing God what he already is inside you. Worship
is our divine response to a divine revelation. You can praise without God. But you can't worship without a revelation. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That is why Paul declares in 1 Corinthians, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me tell you a word that God spoke to me to tell this congregation tonight. God said, you tell Dominion Church, it's time for Dominion Church to take the mantle of Pastor Greg Thurstonson and go into the highways and byways and be a Pentecostal church full of the Holy Ghost. But worship declares to God your concept of Him, your love for Him, and His love for you. And unless you have a revelation, you cannot be a worshiper. You'll just go through the motions. But see, you let Him live inside of you. You got to let Him out. This is why you have a worship team that leads us down the straight and narrow paths, but you must start out on the straight gate. Let me conclude with this. Musicians, come. I wish I had time to preach on the Queen of Sheba. She showed up at Solomon's house. The Queen of Sheba was a multi-millionaire. She had the gold, she had the vessels, she had the silver, she had the palaces. But in 1 Kings chapter 10, that's your homework tonight. She showed up with many questions, and Solomon answered every one of them. But there's a little bitty verse in there that gets my attention. It said, when she walked into the house of Solomon, she saw the servants. She saw the servants who were glad to serve. She saw the beauty, she saw the gold, she saw the silver. And it said this, it took her breath away. That was shock and awe. Listen, if you'll worship God while the preacher's preaching this gospel, like you worship God in the song service, it will position people to walk into your church here now and there also. Because what we generate in this room tonight, it cannot be contained. It goes down the road. And besides that, it anoints you when we leave here tonight. And people on your job will say, you're different. People on your school campus will say, you're different. What's different about you? And that's when we step up to the plate. Jesus. Jesus. And see, the anointing helps people look beyond your faults. Y'all don't know about my father-in-law, but he was the meanest father-in-law. He wasn't the meanest. He was the roughest. I had the meanest mother-in-law. I'm in trouble with Kathy now. My father-in-law was rough from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Atheist, agnostic at the least. My mother-in-law had passed away. So I showed up one night after a revival, driving in. My father-in-law done moved in. I was not the favorite son-in-law. I was not their first choice, and I was not her 50th choice. But less than 6 months, and I believe this is the reason why, Brother Greg, that he came to Jesus. Less than 6 months, starting to live with us, came to me and said, I don't know how to get saved. I can help you, Pop. And we did. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and lived with us for 8 years. I had a one-on-one Bible study with him. He talked like that. I don't understand God. He wasn't drunk either. He stopped drinking. He stopped smoking. Well, he's living in our house, you know. I didn't preach to him. I didn't condemn him. But I was not the favorite son-in-law. All we did was live it. And I believe the anointing of the Holy Ghost in his daughter's life and my life spoke to him and said, the God that you've never believed in is alive and well in this house. It was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. See, when you pray in tongues, it edifies your soul. Your soul. What does that mean? It helps you crucify the flesh. That's why we have a worship team. This bunch up here, we know they could win the American Idol. But they're not performers. God's positioned them to lead us into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We need a Pentecostal church in League City. We need a Pentecost now. And we're going to seek the baptizer of the book of Acts tonight. Brother Greg, do you have any prayer warriors in this church? How many you got? Yes, sir. I need altar workers right now. I need about 10 ladies and 10 men full of the Holy Ghost right now. Come help me. We're going to go to the upper room. Well, Brother Rod, I don't know how to do this. Well, we're going to teach you. We're going to teach you how to seek the baptism. We're not going to teach you how to get it. We're going to teach you how to go get it. But you got to position yourself to get it. Amen? I want every head bowed, every eye closed just for a moment. I want to ask this first of all. You got to be saved in order to receive the gift to the church. But you got to accept the gift of the sinner. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You got to accept Jesus. Saints of God, praying with me right now, I wonder how many may be here in this place tonight. And you've never accepted Jesus Christ. You've never stopped to realize that you got to be saved to go to heaven. And you're here tonight and you're saying this, you're asking this question, well, what do you got to do to get saved? First of all, you got to realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. See, we got a lot of people that know they're sinners, but they don't know they need a Savior. But God's given you a position tonight. He's given you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, saints praying right now. How many tonight would say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life tonight? Lift your hand up right now. Just lift it up. Keep it up. Lift it up. I need Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Anybody here tonight? It's okay. That's all right. I don't beg people. I wonder how many tonight would say this. Now, this is a direct altar service, altar call right now. How many tonight would say this? Preacher, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. But I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost tonight. I need a touch of God in my life. Lift your hand up right now. Come on. Come on. You gotta have Pentecost now. One. Praise the Lord. How many more? Two. How many more? Three, four, five. Come on. You gotta get refilled. You gotta get a touch of God in your life. Some of you have become cold. You've compromised. You're walking on the edge. And God wants to refill you with the Holy Ghost. Who'll be the sixth person here tonight to get refilled with the Holy Ghost? Come on. It's Pentecost now. Pastor Greg said, this is Pentecost now. Now you need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. 5 people. I want you to stand up right there where you're at. 5 people, raise their hand. The 5 people, stand up. I want to refill the Holy Ghost. 6 of you. I want to refill. I want a touch of God in my life, Brother Rod. I don't want this fake stuff. I don't want no plastic stuff. I want the real deal. The real Holy Ghost and fire. Could you come to this side right here? All of you standing right now, come on this side. The flag's flying right here. The flags are flying tonight. Hallelujah. The flags are flying tonight. And it ain't half mask. You know why? Jesus is not dead. He's alive. His banner over me is love. Flag flown high from the castle of my soul. That's an old one. Every young person in this place at one time used to sing that one. Flag flown high from the castle of my soul. You know what that meant? It meant when the flags were flying, the king was in residence. And I know we got more than one or two of us here tonight. In his name tonight, he's here. That means the baptizer's here. If you'll position yourself, I want every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Now here comes Pentecost now. Pastor Greg needs you to seek the Holy Ghost. Just seek it. Would that be fair? Just seek it. Just seek. Preacher, I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't know a lot about it, but I want to seek it. Who will raise your hand right now? How many want to seek the Holy Ghost? There's one. There's two. Praise the Lord. There's three. There's four. There's five. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Pray with me. Come on, let's pray for the Holy Ghost to give us a hunger here tonight. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Come on. Pastor Greg needs you filled. Forget about Brother Ron. Your pastor needs Holy Ghost people in this church. Those 5 or 6 that raise your hand, stand up. You want the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, stand up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand up. Give the devil a black eye tonight. Hallelujah. There's 5 of you that raised your hand. You better be obedient. I want those right there standing right now. Come on up here. Come on. The flags are flying over here. The king's in residence over here. Come on. The baptizers in the book of Acts is here tonight. Okay. I gave you a chance. All right. I need every man in the house to stand up. If you're a man, please stand up. It's going to be real easy tomorrow night, Brother Warren. Every man in this house tonight needs to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me say one more thing. It's time for every leader in this church to seek and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. Every leader. We condemn nobody. Listen to me. We condemn nobody for not having the Holy Ghost.
But we're desperate tonight, and this pastor's desperate tonight. If you're going to go into a multi-million-dollar building, you don't need to go with a compromised spirit in your life tonight. We need to be sold out. We need to get hungry for the Holy Ghost, don't we? That's all right. That's all right. I want every man in the house to come into this holy ground right now. Come on. Get out of them chairs. I want every man to come up. Every man. Every man, please. Come on all the way to the front. Come all the way to the front. Those of you praying, come on up. Step up, step up, step up to the plate. Step up. Step up a little bit. One or two times. One or two steps. Step up, step up. Ladies, ladies, we need your help. Ladies, we need your help tonight. Would you stand with us? Come find your husband tonight. Come find your companion tonight. Come on, ladies. I want all the ladies. Get up here and find your companion. Find your sons and your grandsons right now. They're standing in there. They're standing on holy ground. Hallelujah. Come on, Mississippi. All right, you altar workers, you lay hands on them. One, two, three, lay hands on them right now in the name of Jesus.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.